Reverse the polarity. It's time for Science Sci Friday on SkyWatch TV. Welcome. I'm Derek Gilbert, and joining me in studio, as always, my best friend and author of Ebola and the Fourth Horseman of the Apocalypse, Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hi, honey.
Hi, sweetheart.
You always make me laugh.
Well, you know, it's amazing after, what,
we've been 17 years? Dating for 18 years, been married for going on 18 years, so, yeah.
And still able to make you laugh. That's thank you.
In a good way.
I know.
And for a good reason.
Absolutely. Well, another interesting week, and of course we've been talking about the terror attacks in Paris all week, but we'll set that aside for today.
Except I want to bring that up really quickly, and then we'll go to other things on the list. I look at this list of things, and honestly, if you saw the list of stuff that I looked at during the week, you would wonder how on earth that every minute of the news isn't filled with science, because truly, if you watch science news, mm-hmm. it's constantly developing. So it's very difficult for any science professor to keep up with what's going on. But I want to talk about the Paris event simply because the Prime Minister of Paris, mm-hmm. Manuel Valls, I think is his name, has come out today and said we need to watch for a chemical or biological event.
Oh.
He's saying, I have no intel on this, but he was telling the legislators in Paris, we have to watch for this, and that's why we have to extend what is essentially martial law.
Mm. And this is something that the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency here in the U.S., DARPA, has been concerned about for a long time. They've been working on researching threats from biological and agents for years, a lot longer than we'd like to admit.
Oh, much longer than we'd like to know.
Right.
In fact, one of the things that I address in the book about Ebola is more, I talk about a lot of things, biochemical warfare, biological mm-hmm. warfare. But one of the books that I read to prepare for that was by Ken Allaback, and
yes.
it's all about bioweapons program that was at BioPreparat, which is in Russia. He essentially defected from Russia, came over here and told everybody in our government what was really going on behind the scenes at a time when both nations were supposed to be in a moratorium
right.
on all biological warfare creations.
Mm-hmm.
But our people were doing it, too, for the same reason that the Russians said they were doing it, because they assumed we were doing it. Therefore,
right.
they had to know what we could invent in order to prepare for it.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing the same thing. And when Ken Allaback came over here and revealed what was going on over there, a lot of people got very scared.
Right. And that is one of the elements of the transhumanist movement that we talk about so frequently, because there's this belief that if we don't develop the next generation of, say, technology that enables us to produce super soldiers, that the Russians will or the Chinese will, or someone else will, maybe a terrorist group will come up with something. And so we have to get there first so that we can head them off.
Well,
which means
it's the
that
same
things
thing with AI, exactly. If we don't create the artificial intelligence that is going to be the biggest and best in the entire world first,
right.
then their intelligence will outdo ours.
Yeah, and that is the reason that we put so much time and effort into producing the film Inhuman,
yeah.
which has already sold over 5,000, I understand.
Whoa!
You saw the boxes out in the back.
I did, yeah. and it's Crazy Town out there.
Yeah, it is.
You and I have lived in Crazy Town here for a while now.
Bless the ladies working back in the warehouse. Because they're
working
they just,
so hard.
Yeah. But anyway, and this is why we focus on science so frequently on this program, is because there are developments taking place in genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, what Tom Horn calls the GRIN technologies, mm-hmm. that are fundamentally changing life on planet Earth.
Well, and here's the thing. I've been in the process of trying to write copy, essentially, for an ad that will be placed in various magazines for the purchase of these items. It's always tricky when you're wording an advertisement, that you want to make sure what you say is correct,
mm-hmm.
but also that people will notice. I mean, you're advertising because you want somebody to
yeah.
notice your product. We feel passionate. Tom Horn feels passionate about this entire topic, to the extent that, honestly, he's got to be losing money on every box that goes out the door.
Yeah.
But this advertisement that I've been writing, one of the challenges has been to try to make parents, families, grandparents understand why this topic that they may never have heard of before is the kind of thing that they is so dangerous for their children and grandchildren in the space of a very small bunch of words. It's very difficult to do.
It's a gift.
So, well, I don't know that I have it. So if I go crazy out there at the lake, you'll know why. but anyway, transhumanism is something we have to worry about. Speaking of artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. one of the stories that I took a look at this past week was where Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook claims that their artificial intelligence can now outdo humans.
And that's the little personal assistant similar to Siri on the iPhone mm-hmm. or Cortana on Windows 10, which keeps popping up when I hit a certain combination on my trackpad, which just drives me nuts. But they believe it's that sort of thing where it's in their Messenger app where you can basically ask it questions and it will respond to you.
Exactly. It is supposed to figure out what you need before you know you need it.
Yes.
Essentially, that's what they're trying to build.
And that's
terrifying mm-hmm. because what that means is our entire online experience is being curated for us.
Right.
Things are being selected that it's supposed to make me feel better, inform me better, connect me with my friends better. But the fact is, the longer I use social media, the less I like it.
Mm-hmm. And the that really shapes our perception of reality.
Yeah.
Because we live in an age now where if you don't have a website for your business or for yourself, you essentially don't exist to the rest of the world.
That's right.
If you're searching for, and I've used this example in presentations, if you're a plumber and somebody is searching for you online and your search result comes up, 575th on the list, you might as well not exist to the world out there.
Exactly. And it's all about, honestly, you have to pay to play.
Yes.
It's called search engine optimization. It's SEO code that you put into your website that makes Google want to grab it first or Bing or whatever search engine you're using. Facebook is saying that their M, which is, they say, named after Moneypenny from James Bond. I don't know that that's true or not. Because M is actually the 13th letter in the alphabet.
Yes.
I've always found it really curious when someone says, oh, I want to just name that one. I'll call it M.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
13 is a number with occult significance.
It is. It's a number of rebellion. Now, that doesn't mean that that's why they really named it that. There are lots of things out there that have a designation of M. So we'll just go on to that. But AIs are all over the place. Robotics are all over the place. There is a competition every day, practically, for designing the best robot. NASA's going to send a couple of their top-of-the-line robots to MIT, and I think the other one goes to another Northeastern college. Technology is moving at a pace that you and I would find impossible to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
And much of it, honestly, is not making it into the headlines. The secret activities are taking place. Anybody who's read any of the history of DARPA or any of the history of the various governments and the militaries of the world, we keep our best items, our best weapons, secret.
Exactly. As we talked about before, some of the things that came out during the first Gulf War we thought were brand new to the early 90s had actually been deployed in Vietnam and mm-hmm. were researched prior to that. The speed of technological change is just incredible. I mean, I think about this. Your grandfather, my grandfather, were born in an era before everybody had an automobile.
Yeah.
My grandfather was born, my father's father, 1900. My mother's father, born 1903. So both of them basically grew up, or at least were born in an era where people still needed to use horses to get around. And now we're looking at an era where within our lifetimes, we will see self-driving cars and trucks especially.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's been a shortage of truck drivers mm-hmm. in the United States here the last few years. Technically, a negative unemployment rate for truck drivers. We will see self-driving vehicles on our roads within our lifetimes.
Well, there are already ghost cities that have been built specifically to test self-driving automobiles. In fact, there's one in Michigan. Hmm. That's being used by, I think, Google automobiles. The point is that eventually you and I will have a constant companion. You know, one of the stories that I see used the most to rationalize why we need robotics and artificial intelligence and self-driving cars is that we need a companion. Did you see the story a couple of weeks ago about the guy that married a robot? We may have talked about that on here. But in Japan, mm-hmm. which is way ahead with robotics, having a robot in your home is commonplace.
Yeah.
It's going to become commonplace here in the next 10 years. People with some extra spending money are going to buy a little robot or a robot kit for their kids. Because truthfully, if you are a child today, you are smart to go into programming of robotics mm-hmm. because that's where it's all going.
Right. And there are some real sociological implications to this.
Yeah.
We've talked before about the television series Humans, which explores some of this, where you've got very lifelike humanoid robots that are companions for people. In fact, one of the characters played by the actor William Hurt was instrumental in the development of these. And even though he knows, because he was involved in the programming, development, design of these bots, that he has developed an emotional attachment with one mm-hmm. that served as a caretaker after he had a stroke and helps him remember things to the point where he can't let it go when it becomes obviously obsolete. But there are other implications that are explored in that series, such as the sexual component.
Yeah.
In our world today, men in particular are being marginalized, it seems, as being unnecessary to the family, as being unnecessary to a child's development. And frankly, it's to the point where men are almost infantilized, where, a generation of men coming up believing, you know, why am I even, you know, in this society? I'm not given any value or weight or precedent. And the law is such that if and when a marriage breaks up, which half of them do, men wind up essentially bearing the economic cost. Now, both parties are, you know, men and women are worse off. But mm-hmm. the point is that men in our society are basically being pressured to withdraw from the family unit and may find that, and this, there have been some stories that have been published on this here recently, about turning to synthetic companionship for the one, you know, over, you know, driving biological need.
Yes. Yeah. I agree with everything you just said, but it's beyond that. Picture a country like China mm-hmm. where you don't have a whole lot of females for the males.
Right.
For a long time, the one-child policy made it such that families would choose a male child over a female child. The
right.
females were either aborted or they were given away or sold or whatever. So we have a lot of young men in China now.
The ratio of men to women is
exactly.
out of whack.
So if that becomes and a lot of up and coming yuppies, so to speak, in China who have expendable income,
mm-hmm.
and it could be that buying a companion that you don't have to interact with if you don't choose to, you don't have to wonder, you know, what do I say to her today because she's a little off today.
Exactly.
It's the ideal mate, so to speak.
Right.
But the truth is, it is further isolating us as human beings,
right.
and the social media has already begun to do that. If your interactions during the day are primarily online and not in analog space,
mm-hmm.
then there's a problem.
Right. And I think that that is one of the reasons we're seeing reactions. We're seeing incidents like what we saw at the University of Missouri recently. We've seen similar events now at Yale, at Dartmouth, at Occidental in California, where students have occupied the president's office
mm-hmm.
And making demands, but not allowing for any dialogue. They don't want to listen. They just want to bully anyone who disagrees with them into submission. And I think that's being ingrained in a new generation of people because there's so much of that that takes place online. When
exactly.
you're dealing with somebody on the other side of a screen, they have been depersonalized, dehumanized.
Exactly.
Dehumanized.
Exactly. And when we have on the other side of that a Facebook algorithm is more human than you and I are,
right.
that's a major problem. And we are moving into a world where legally anybody who can, you know, essentially go down a checklist, anything that can say yes to a bunch of questions can legally be perceived as sentient and has
person.
Rights. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, personhood instead of
person rights. And that may be actually kind of funny down the road if people do marry their robots, then the robot who's been declared sentient has rights in the divorce.
Yeah, that day is coming because we're already seeing lawsuits on behalf of chimpanzees and rivers and so forth
yeah.
That they're, you know, for violation of their rights. But I think this is part of a bigger and overarching issue, trend that the enemy, and by the enemy I mean the principalities, the powers, the
yeah.
rulers of spiritual darkness, are trying to condition us, to program us, to brainwash us into rejecting God's original plan for humanity, which was that a man should leave his mother and father and be joined with his wife. So the two become as one, one flesh, to train up children in the way they should go so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. We are being isolated. We are being dehumanized. And we are being told that God's original design in the beginning, created he them, male and female, is outmoded, outdated, and just a social construct, not the divine order of things. It's all, I think, so that the transhumanist movement, the transgender movement, the LGBT movement, and this trend toward replacing human companionship with robot, I think it's all part of a larger agenda.
It is. In fact, I've also been trying to write at home while I hurt my back last weekend, so I've been trying to spend as much time lying flat as I could. So it's difficult to write when you're lying flat, but I've been reading a lot. But one of the things you and I are trying to write, and we've mentioned it before, is a book that's called Rise of the Cyber Gods, and it's all about this move toward robotics and artificial intelligence and transhumanism. Mm-hmm. I believe that that plan has been in place since the Garden, but as far as our modern history goes, it started around the early, mid to 19th century. And as soon as Darwin and the perception of his books was essentially shared and believed in education, as soon as the masses believed that God was no longer real, then suddenly you had to replace it with something.
Right.
And we've seen paganism, but we're also going to see this move toward replacing humans with something humans designed, which I just think is the oddest thing at all.
That's right.
Because we're looked at as if we are imperfect, and yet somehow we are able to design the perfect next level of our own evolution.
That's right. That's right. If you and I were to create a god, it would be a pretty pathetic god.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And yet the irony is that the very intelligent people who are part of the transhumanist movement don't see that.
No, they do not. And they truly believe. And this is, on the drive over here this morning, I kept thinking, you know, that well-worn phrase that we've all said many times, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
The road to transhumanism is paved with good intentions.
Right.
The people who, most of them, who want to see a move toward a new body design and uploaded consciousness, they truly believe it will improve the world.
Right.
But the problem is they often also quote Malthus, mm-hmm. who believed that only so many people could live at a time.
Right.
They quote many of the eugenicists
right.
from the early 20th century. And the problem with doing that is that it means that you have to be selective.
Mm-hmm.
You have to exert selective pressure on the human species yourself.
Right.
That means you choose who will die and who will live.
Yeah.
And I'm going to end with this one story. There was a survey that was done in the UK of older people, seniors, and they were asked a series of questions. It's the kind of thing that you and I often refer to as push polling.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they want a certain answer, and so the questions are designed to get the answer. Well, after reviewing the data from the survey, the story that was the report that was published online at the Daily Mail and Telegraph and elsewhere, The Guardian, is that senior citizens would prefer not to extend their lives if they're going to have a poor quality of life. In other words, I only want to live longer if it means I'm going to be happy and I'm going to feel good. I think many of us would agree with that, but the article gets into the expenditure of money with regard to whether or not it's really in the senior's best interest.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of thinking that if you read the articles, you'll see that if you read the whole article, it is skewed towards, yeah, but they really are better off. They really want this. When you're talking about government dollars and how best to spend them on the people out mm-hmm. there, and you look at quality of life mm-hmm. for the seniors, we're moving into a very dangerous area
right.
with regard to eugenics.
Exactly right.
Because suddenly, if you're over a certain age group, well, you're less likely to really enjoy your life now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're just going to go ahead and withdraw your medication.
Exactly. Yeah. It's and Sarah Palin was accused of being a Looney Tune for suggesting that death panels would ultimately be part of a government a centralized government health care system.
We still don't know what all is in the Affordable Care Act, because I don't know of any organization that has read every word in it mm-hmm. through the eyes of a lawyer. And it, even then, lawyers will disagree over what these passages mean.
Yeah.
When you have massively, you know, a bill that is that high, there can be a lot buried in there.
No, it's but what we do know about it proves my theory that when you want to know what a bill passed by Congress does, read the title and assume it does 180 degrees the opposite.
Often true.
Affordable Care Act.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's not affordable at all. Well, yeah. that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about this week. Yeah. But I just want to say one final thing. It's really easy when you hear stories like this to become very frightened.
True.
We are not to be frightened. There's you and I, we do a Bible study that is published online every Sunday, and we've been going through Joshua over and over again. The Lord tells Joshua, be of good courage. Mm-hmm. Do not fear. Over and over again, he's told, don't worry about this. Don't be afraid. Just follow me. I'm the one that's going to do this for you. Families, moms, dad, grandma, grandpa, kids, don't be afraid. Put your trust in the one who spread out his arms wide enough to hold all of humanity.
Yeah, that's well put. I could add to that, but it would only take away from what was the climax of the program there. Humanity, human life, is intrinsically sacred because we are created as God's imagers, in the image of God. Regardless of whatever limitations or challenges you face, your life, the lives of those around you, are sacred. And that's why we feel so passionately about this movement, why we put so much effort into the film Inhuman, available at skywatchtvstore.com. Until Monday, have a blessed weekend. For Sharon Gilbert, I'm Derek Gilbert. Thanks for watching.